In the spring of 1989, we received messages of Our Lady given in Korea. The documents explaining the circumstances of these messages were sent to us by a friend of long standing, an American priest stationed in Korea, Father Slaby, who has been working there with Father Anton Trauner, who is the head of the Blue Army, the World Apostolate of Fatima, in that country. The messages sent in French had apparently not yet been translated into English, and when I read them, I realized that they were extremely important and remarkable in the fact that they had a degree of approval of the Church, even at this stage, which is extremely unusual, because usually when apparitions are actually taking place, there is a very special reticence on the part of the local ecclesiastical authority. The author of the documents is a Father Spies, spiritual director of a woman named Julia of the town of Naju, to whom Our Lady has been appearing. She and her husband, Julia, have three children, and Father Spies became convinced that the apparitions were genuine. He presented his findings to his own bishop, who is president of the Episcopal Commission of Korea, and the latter encouraged Father Spies to continue with the matter. Rather than translate all the documents, which are lengthy, I decided to summarize them and quote the most important messages. The whole history of the affair began on the 30th of June, 1985, when tears were seen to flow from a small statue in the home of Julia and her family in Naju, a city in the southwest of Korea about 175 miles from Seoul in the diocese of Gwangju. Incidentally, the spelling of the names of these places in Korea could vary a great deal because the Korean characters are completely different from the Latin characters we use in the Western world, so the spelling is phonetic. Our own Father Joseph Kim, who was sent by his bishop to the United States to be the spiritual director of the Blue Army members who are now scattered throughout the United States, and whose brother is a bishop in Korea, knew all about these apparitions and messages in Korea, spoke very favorably of them, and when we asked him about the spelling of the names, he used a spelling different from that in these documents, which I am summarizing. But the spelling, so you'll understand the at least the names of the places, are Naju, N-A-J-U, or J-O-O, whichever way you prefer, and Gwangju, that's K-W-A-N-G-J-U or J-O-O, Naju and Gwangju. I will refer to Julia simply as Julia of Naju, as we also refer to Sister Agnes Sasagawa of Akita as Sister Agnes of Akita. Now, Father Spies asked Julia to keep a diary, and some of the following quotations are from her diary, some from letters she wrote to Father Spies, while much was written by Father Spies himself based on his personal witness. These documents from Father Slaby include an overall history from June of 1985 up until the present time, eight messages of 1988 and 1989, and reports made to the Archbishop of Gwangju in reply to inquiries made by the Archbishop, first informally and then formally, followed by directions from the Archbishop to the pastor of Naju. In the latest communiques to the pastor, the Archbishop, and this is something that struck me very much and is what caused me to decide to record this and to ask the 101 Foundation to do its best to make this widely known. The Archbishop accepted the reality and the truth of the tears, in which he accepted the miracle, Secondly, he stated that, in his opinion, Julia is a normal person. No, she's not not a crackpot or a person suffering hallucination. Because of the importance of the messages, which are going to speak in detail about the chastisement which may come upon the world, I consider this attitude of the Church of extreme importance, and so I'm giving it some time before we get into the actual messages. In a word, although the apparitions and miracles are actually taking place at the present time, the Archbishop has shown himself ever more openly in favor of the events. In December of 1987, Canon René-Laurentin, recognized today as the greatest authority in the world on Marian apparitions, was invited to Korea by Father Spies to investigate the events and to talk with the Archbishop. Canon Laurentin wrote a favorable article which was published in March of 1988. Julia of Naju is a victim soul. For several years she had been offering suffering for the conversion of sinners, and she has been likened to Martin Robin, the great victim soul of France who lived for 30 years on nothing but the Eucharist. Father Spies says that in his opinion, Julia and her husband are part of that consecrated laity of whom Martha Robin described the consecrated laity through whom the Church of the future will progress. When Father Spies went to Naju on the 4th of February 1988, he says, "The Virgin had been weeping for more than a month, and after I had celebrated Mass, Julia went into ecstasy and underwent the sufferings of the cross, having the stigmata on both hands." A formal meeting with the Archbishop took place that same month, and exactly a year later, on the 5th of February, 1989, the Archbishop summoned the pastor of Naju, Father Lazarus Lee Chun-su, for a report on the most recent events, on the messages about Julia, about the stigmata, about the pilgrimages, about the number of priests, religious, and Christians in the course of 1988 who had come to pray at the foot of the Virgin of Naju. It was at this time that the Archbishop recognized the truth of the tears, and that in the matter of Julia there was no question of deviation, that she was a normal person. And the Archbishop said, as mentioned above, "Continue to keep me informed, giving me the messages, the diaries of Julia, and the videotapes taken." At the time of that report, there had been a record of 15,000 visitors to the statue, many of whom had witnessed the miracle of tears. The number, according to Father Spies, could be considerably higher, because when the people were coming in large crowds, it was impossible to keep accurate records. 15,000 were actually counted. Also, Father Spies points out, as he is from another diocese, that his own bishop, Bishop Angelo Kim, is favorable to these events. And Bishop Kim, who was the president of the Bishops' Conference of Korea, was kept completely informed because Father Spies, with his permission, had become the one most involved, like Father Yasuda, in the events of Akita. Bishop Kim told Father Spies in January of 1988 that when other bishops asked him about this, he answered, "If we would prevent people from going to Naju, Satan would be the one to profit." So in conclusion, while I have said very little about the history, in that very, very few details, we can say that we have a case of a victim soul to whom Our Lady has appeared and who is now giving some messages which are extremely important, even to the whole world. And the attitude of the Church is certainly open to these events. And therefore they are suitable for promotion by the 101 Foundation, which is dedicated to promotion of current messages from heaven, which shows signs of authenticity through church supervision. Now, there are several messages. Some, of course, are more important to the world in general than others. Basically, as I said above, Our Lady has asked Julia of Naju to be a victim soul, to suffer for sinners and for the world. Fundamentally, the message is the same as that of Akita and Fatima. Our Lady laments the amount of sin in the world, the failure of her children to make reparation, and the coming chastisement. In one of the messages, Our Lady says, "Behold, my daughter, the multitude of my children, who provoke the just anger of God by the number of their sins. More prayer is needed, more sacrifice and penance. Too few of my children consecrate themselves to me." Remember at Fatima that Our Lady asked for consecration to her Immaculate Heart. And one must wonder whether people even know what Our Lady means or how they can be consecrated. Of course, this is the great simple message of the Blue Army. We clothe ourselves in the scapular, which is a quasi-liturgical act of consecration to Our Lady, and wearing this sign of belonging to her, that we try to live, realizing that Our Lady is holding us by the hand. So terribly important to realize the moral presence of Our Lady. God has entrusted the peace of the world to her, as Jacinta said. And there is a very touching phrase that Our Lady used in these apparitions in Korea, which highlights this message given at Fatima and stressed again at Akita. "More prayer is needed," she said, "more sacrifice and penance. Too few of my children consecrate themselves to me." And she cited prayers that are prayers only in form. She lamented that visits to the Blessed Sacrament are only in form, services rendered without the spirit of prayer. She mentioned that activities of the Legion of Mary are often done in the same manner. Our Lady said, "There must be a spirit of prayer to activate prayer, to activate visits and apostolic work." Now, in a moment, we're going to see that Julia didn't quite understand this reference of Our Lady to activization through a spirit of prayer. She understood, of course, spirit of prayer, but the word activization. So this is the basic message to live in an awareness of the supernatural. She said, "In meeting one's neighbor, it should be as if one were meeting Jesus with a sincere love, with a heart which prays." A heart which prays. "Make this known to all. I accord my love to all my children, whoever they are. But far from receiving this love, too many of my children profane it and reject it. Because of this, my heart experiences a terrible pain." This, of course, recalls the appearance of Our Lady at Fatima with her heart pierced by many thorns. And the words of our Lord at Pontevedra, "Behold the heart of your mother pierced by the thorns with which ungrateful men pierce it by their sins, their ingratitude." Our Lady said here in Naju, "I must suffer without ceasing because of my children on earth, I, who ought to be honored as the Queen of Heaven." She added, "The sufferings that you endure, are they not those that you offer for the conversion of sinners, and by which you participate in the sufferings of Jesus? Do not try to escape from this violent struggle which torments you, because this violent struggle is transformed into graces and benedictions for many souls. Prayers, sacrifices, and penance are necessary. It is the violent combat which God has foreseen to sanctify souls. Do you know the deluge of Noah and the Tower of Babel? Who can say that there is less evil in our days than in those times? One must fear the just anger of God in order that the fire from heaven does not fall upon the earth. I pray without ceasing for those of my children who have fallen into vice and corruption, suffering in their place. But if one does not accept the messages that I give, if one continues to accommodate to the things of the world without seeking those of heaven, then, even if one finally repents, it will be too late. I ask you this because the chastisement could come through the human race itself." Father Spies points out that, with reference to the words of Our Lady, "Do you know the deluge of Noah and the Tower of Babel?" Julia telephoned him afterwards because she had never heard of either. She asked, "What is the Tower of Babel?" Father Spies explained and sent her a copy of the text of Genesis, 11th chapter, 9th verse. And when Father Spies asked if she had known what the deluge was, she said, and this is significant, "No, but the Blessed Virgin had spoken of it in another message." And Father Spies had forgotten to note that. Then, on January the 8th, 1989, Our Lady had spoken of it again. Recall, too, that Our Lady used the same word, Arakita, which is now finally approved. In the case of these messages from Korea, we have reason to believe that they're authentic, but they tend to illustrate and to update the messages of Fatima and Akita. But in the case of Akita, we have the final approval of the Church. We have no doubt of the messages of Our Lady and what she said. And there she said that the chastisement will be worse than the deluge. And now she's speaking of the same at Naju. Now, with regard to the word activization, and also the words Third World War and Nuclear War, Julia asked her husband to explain, because she did not know what they meant. "It was while Our Lady was speaking to her the words, 'I ask this because the chastisement could come through the human race itself,' that thoughts enters Julia's mind that the chastisement would come through a Third World War and a nuclear war." Now, the words themselves weren't spoken by Our Lady, but as Our Lady said, the chastisement could come through the human race itself. These words entered her mind, Third World War and nuclear war, and that thus men themselves would inflict the chastisement. Now, these messages given by Our Lady concerning the chastisement are completely in keeping with other recent apparitions, especially those in Hrushu in the Soviet Union, where Our Lady described even the sky on fire as she foretold and described the chastisement. And at Akita, where she spoke of fire destroying the world in a chastisement worse than the deluge, Our Lady gave a very similar graphic and terrible description. But here in Korea, we have a definite indication that the chastisement will be a nuclear war, which I think many of us have presumed. The 101 Foundation serves a major purpose in bringing to light such important messages from different parts of the world. In all these messages, beginning with Fatima, we see the conversion of Russia as extremely important, and the messages given by Our Lady in the Ukraine and the Soviet Union become an extremely important part of what Our Lady has been saying ever since 1917, that the peace of the world has been entrusted to her, and this terrible chastisement in which entire nations will be wiped out will depend now on what happens in Russia. Our Lady said in the apparitions in the Ukraine, where she has manifested herself to many thousands, there are now thousands of witnesses giving testimony throughout Russia, that if now the Russian people are converted, the chastisement will be avoided. If not, it will surely come. And as she said at Fatima, if we want this conversion in Russia, it depends on us. I might say that certainly it's a matter of grave concern to all of us that years ago we were so apostolic, getting pledges all over the world to fulfill the conditions of Our Lady of Fatima. And the Blue Army climbed in a few years to 25 million members throughout the world. And now as we are reaching the denouement, the climax, like people who've been running a race and are reaching the rope at the end, we're slowing down or even turning away. Is that not why Our Lady is appearing so often and so emphatically in tears, suffering, pierced heart, blood flowing from her eyes and from her hands at Akita? Because now is the time for the supreme effort. St. Paul says, I have run the race. And now is the time to win the race. With sufficient support, it is to be hoped that the 101 Foundation will be able to supply the fullness of these messages in every detail and spread them quickly throughout this endangered, very apathetic world. This is something the Blue Army can't do, because the Blue Army has a policy that it can only speak of already approved apparitions. And even though Akita has been approved by the Church, there are some in the Blue Army, just Fatima. And those who say this are the ones who are slowing down, actually turning away from the race as though, we've done our job and, now it's no longer our responsibility. If the world hasn't listened, it's just too bad. Thanks be to God, not all feel that way, but some do. In a recent message of January 1989, Our Lady awakened Julia from a profound sleep and said, "Get up, let us pray, Julia. Get up and pray with me for priests." And during that night, Our Lady spoke at length about the importance of prayer and reparation for priests and for the Church. Frequently, Our Lady begged for prayers. She said, "Make sacrifices and do penance without ceasing for the Sovereign Pontiff, the Cardinals, the Bishops, the Priests." She also said, the latter ought to favorably receive the messages he has given to the world. But many priests do not accept them. She said her messages must be accepted promptly. Quote, "It is necessary," she stressed, "that my beloved priests accept them promptly in order to prevent the chastisement which is going to follow." That is, if things continue as they are. At the conclusion of that message of January 15, 1989, which began at 6 o'clock in the morning, Our Lady said, "The entire world goes relentlessly towards its ruin, while Satan deploys all his power to destroy it. But one sees certain victory realized through union. I wish to save the world by the victory of my mercy and my love. That is how my Immaculate Heart will triumph. If you pray with me, holding my hand with confidence, my Immaculate Heart will certainly triumph." Now, there's nothing new here, but it is so beautifully clear. And one is moved to remark those words of Our Lady, which summarize the message of Fatima and the whole content of the Blue Army Pledge, which Lucius said contains the essential conditions for the conversion of Russia and world peace. The words of Our Lady, "Pray with me while holding my hand with confidence." This is a beautiful illustration of the use of the rosary and the scapular together. With the rosary, we pray with Our Lady, while with the scapular, we hold her hand. Or in a sense, she has her arms around us, close to her heart. Oh, if only the world had reacted as it should have to the great miracle of Fatima, where Our Lady held the rosary and the scapular out of the sky, asking simply for consecration to her heart, and that we pray with her. Remember when she first appeared to St. Bernadette at Lourdes, there were no words spoken in the beginning. Bernadette instinctively took her rosary and began to pray it. And as she did so, Our Lady took the rosary that she had on her arms and moved from bead to bead as Bernadette prayed. And then when Bernadette came to the doxology, Our Lady spoke at Lourdes for the first time, joining Bernadette in saying, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." We pray the rosary. Our Lady prays with us, and we pray with her. And she draws us into the mysteries of Jesus. So simple. Bishop Venancio, the second bishop of Fatima, used to say, "The greatest problem of the message is the simplicity, that people find it difficult to believe that something so simple could save the world." It is also interesting that in this apparition at Naju in January, Our Lady appeared in the following way as described in Julia's words. She was the Virgin Mary, the woman of the beautiful stars. She's referring to 12 stars which Our Lady wore as a crown. She appeared in the sky radiating light. On her head she wore a crown of laurels decorated with 12 stars which gave off brilliant rays. Her garments were the same as in the previous visions, but her face was very sad. Leaning down toward me while I recited the rosary, tears flowed down her face. Now, there are many things we can notice here, but first of all, the crown of laurels is the crown of victory. And the 12 stars gave off brilliant rays are the 12 stars of the apocalypse. And they take on special meaning today because the man who was charged by the European community, the European Parliament, to design a flag for the new European community, which is a community of all the nations of Western Europe, was inspired to design a flag